Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We're very pleased to welcome Ambassador Dennis Ross, the William Davidson Distinguished Fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Dennis, a good evening to you. The President's travels to the Middle East, to Israel, and then to Saudi Arabia, especially at the Kingdom. What now do you measure was the moment for the President's conversation with the leaders of Saudi Arabia? What was achieved? Good evening to you, Dennis.
Good evening to you. Look, I think the most important thing that was achieved is that there was a repair of the relationship with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is hugely important to us, not simply because of oil, but because we're in a longer-term competition with Russia and China. In that longer-term competition, we need countries like Saudi Arabia to be part of the larger coalition that we need to put together to succeed in that competition. So oil, of course, is a part of that. Managing a stable transition away from fossil fuels is going to take 20 to 25 years. The Saudis are going to be critical in that. I think what was done was an understanding at a certain level on how this relationship will work as we go through this competition. Specifically, there were a number of things that were very important that were worked out. There's a new agreement now that we have with the Saudis on what is a new technology related to 5G and 6G. They had been buying from Huawei with the Chinese before. Now this agreement on this new technology for developing 5G and 6G, that puts us in a position where they're much more likely now to be aligned with us in the critical telecommunications technologies and area. That's a big deal. The fact that they've agreed to also have their Navy work with ours. We have a Task Force 153 in the Bab el-Mandeb, which is one of the key straits where all sorts of goods, including oil, pass through. That's important because we can work together to actually deal with interdicting what are the efforts by Iran to continue to transport and smuggle weapons into Yemen. So I think there's a number of things that were worked out on this visit. I think too many people say, gee, did they increase the amount of oil that's going to be produced per day? And the answer is maybe over time we'll see that. But those are not the most important things in terms of our strategic needs.
Malcolm?
So how do you evaluate overall the success of the president's trip? He started in Israel, where he was warmly received and reacted warmly. I think he made some very important statements there and signed a declaration which has gotten almost no notice. So if we can, let's talk about that first, how you evaluate the Israel leg of the trip and some of the personal expressions at Yad Vashem to these ladies, these Holocaust survivors, and on his arrival.
Malcolm, I feel like you. He made some enormously important statements and gestures that have been simply missed and should not have been. First of all, he gets off the plane and the first thing he says is, you do not have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. Well, Zionism is an ideology, is a term that has become tainted in the eyes of those who want to delegitimize Israel. They want to portray Zionism as if it's some kind of a foreign implant, an oppressive colonial doctrine. It is not that at all. Zionism is the national liberation movement of the Jewish people. And for a president of the United States to make that, to embrace that at a time when it's being challenged in all sorts of quarters, certainly the critics of Israel challenge it, the delegitimizers of Israel challenge it. And there are those within the left wing of the Democratic Party who have challenged it. And here's the president of the United States, the leader of the Democratic Party, who takes that on frontally. You're also quite right. He gets down on bended knee to embrace two survivors in their mid-90s of the Holocaust at Yad Vashem. And again, it's a human gesture that speaks volumes. That again sends a message about when he talked about, you know, our support for Israel being rooted in our bones. This is again an American president who embraces Israel and sees in it a shared democracy that is not only a country that shares our values, but is also critical to pursuing our interests in the region. So I felt those kinds of statements and gestures were important. I think the announcement that we're going to be co-producing the Iron Beam, which is a laser defense against missiles and drones, it's a game changer, because the cost of offensive missiles is a fraction of the cost of defensive missiles. So suddenly, if you have a laser defense, all the sunk costs for that are in your investments. Once you're able to operate it, and the American co-production, meaning our investment in it, will accelerate the timetable in which it can be implemented, this is a huge development, especially given Iranian threats with drones, which are obviously sophisticated enough that the Russians are buying them, cruise missiles and ballistic missiles. I view this as being a very big deal. And I see this trip as being quite successful.
The president, in his remarks, was extremely supportive of Israel, extremely supportive of peace in the Middle East. Did you hear frustration in any fashion with Iran, the ongoing mysterious Iran negotiations, Dennis? Has anything changed during the trip or after the trip about the intentions?
The only thing I would say that I found, especially in the joint declaration, it is interesting. Before the trip, when the president was interviewed and was asked the question, was he prepared to use force against Iran? He said, yes, as a last resort. In the joint declaration, the language that the U.S. adopted in the joint declaration is that we would use all means of national power to prevent Iran from having a nuclear weapon. So there is a change in the rhetoric. And if it is supported by certain kinds of actions that demonstrate the words are not just words, and when I say supported by certain kinds of actions, I would love to see us begin to run exercises under central command where we rehearse attacks against hardened targets, air-to-ground attacks against hardened targets. The Iranians watch our exercises. They would begin to see that this suggests that these are not just words, but we're making preparations. If they leave us no choice, the president makes it clear, as he did in the press conference, joint press conference with Prime Minister Lapid, that he prefers diplomacy. Well, we all prefer diplomacy, but if the Iranians make a diplomatic outcome which changes the character of their nuclear program impossible, they need to understand the consequence will be the use of force and the destruction of their entire nuclear infrastructure.
Malcolm?
There was a lot of discussion before the trip about an Arab NATO. Even King Abdullah has made mention of it. There were comments pro and con, but it seems that the UAE signaled that they were not going to join. Saudi Arabia seemed to indicate that they were not going to be part of it. Was this a fear of Iran's reaction? Was it a message to the U.S. of some kind, even though they're doing all the joint maneuvers in other areas of cooperation on security and intelligence?
Yeah, I think it was a couple of things. One, it was probably a signal to Iran that, look, we're not getting ready to use military force against you. At this point, it's fine and good what we're developing, but they want to know, can we actually defend them, meaning the Saudis and the Emiratis. But I think there was something that was largely missed that also helps to explain why there was a kind of caution, not only on this, but on the normalization process as a whole. That is that the Iraqis came. Prime Minister of Iraq came to the GCC+3 meeting, the Gulf Cooperation Council states, which are six, plus Egypt, Jordan, and Iraq. And one of the results of that was that it was announced that the Iraqi electrical grid is now going to be attached to the Saudi electrical grid, meaning creating, in a sense, a kind of independence from the Iranian ability to determine whether or not Iraq is able to maintain its level of electricity and not have to be constantly turning it off all the time. The point here is that I think that if Khadimi, the prime minister of Iraq, would not have come, probably send a message to them, look, I can't come if you're going to be touting this Middle East Defense Alliance. I won't be able to come because the pressure I'll be under from the Shia militias and the Iranians. And if you're going to tout normalization, it'll be the same thing. So I think That helps to explain why you saw so little mention of this in public. The interesting reality is there is an integration taking place right now, not just through Central Command and exercises, but there's an integration taking place in terms of early warning, air defense, common radar screen for everybody so they can they get early warning launches. They're given the trajectory of any missiles. Any drones that are in flight are identified. The interception points are also identified. So what you have is, for the first time, increasingly an integrated ability to defend against the most likely threats from the Iranians. That's a big deal also.
Ambassador Dennis Ross, the William Davidson Distinguished Fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, Malcolm Hohnlein Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.